Blog Talk Radio.
The man you're about to see and hear, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. Three, four.
I got something, y'all, in my bones. Make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to every voice and sing, till it did heaven ring, ring with the harmony, oh, liberty. Let our rejoicing rise high, love has joy to see ya.
Former Alderman Dorothy Tillman is joining us on the phone right now, which was an alderman in the 3rd Ward from 1985 to 2007, and of course, a host right here on DON. Alderman Tillman, always my Alderman, Dorothy Tillman, it's so good to be talking to you right now. Thank you so much for joining us here. Tell us how you're sitting with this sad news of Tim O'Brien.
Well, you know, if you believe in God, and you understand that Tim did his work that God put him on his earth to do, you're not feeling sad, you're feeling glad that he's leaving some behind. That when people like Tim Black pass, their spirit now live on, and the work that they have done live on. Sometimes people go and they haven't done anything. They just come and suck up on everything and don't leave nothing behind, don't leave the world better than it was when they first came in. So certainly Tim left the world a world better. You know, I met Tim when I came here with Dr. King in 19. I met him in December of 65. And when we first came, we was doing a northern tour to decide what city we were going to work in. And Tim was one of those people who really was lobbying to get Dr. King to come to Chicago, because we did have Philadelphia. We had Philadelphia, Cleveland, Detroit. We was all over the place touring north to bring our movement to the north. And Tim was one of those folks who lobbied to bring Dr. King here. And so Tim have always, he was active all the time on behalf of our people. And for humanity, not just for black people, but also humanity. He was a teacher. He taught a lot of students. He was one of those people that was there when we put Harold in. He was also one of the ones, he should be remembered about how hard and how much he fought to get rid of Willie's Wagon. A lot of folks don't know what Willie's Wagon is when they had those trailers out there for black folks, children to go to school in, mm-hmm. while the white schools had empty classrooms. So he's kind of been out here, and he fought and fought a good fight, you know.
You know what I love about the story that you're sharing right now is how you are able to tell us exactly when you met him, the summer of 1965 when you met Tim Black. What does that say about him, and what does that say about, you know, when we're in the middle of doing our work, we don't know the legacy or how we touch lives.
Right.
He touched your life that summer then.
Yeah, you know, we had just finished up the Selma movement, and we were going to do a northern movement when we kept being invited to come north. But Chicago was one of the first cities that we stopped on our tour with Dr. King and northern movement. And we had the big rally downtown. We met in Soldier's Field where we had the big rally. He was part of mobilizing that, and we went and put a little tax on Daley's door. But he was just out there fighting for humanity. But that was in 65. Then we came back once Chicago was decided to be the one that we would launch our northern movement in. And Tim certainly should take some credit in terms of lobbying Dr. King and the staff to make sure that we came here, because he felt education. His push was, look, you got to come. We got to help with the education. This education system up here is terrible. Willis have people out there in those Willis wagons, and black children can't go to these schools. They're segregated. That was his push. But along with Clay Evans pushed for the housing. He wanted to fight for the housing. So between Tim Black and Reverend Evans, when Reverend Evans wanted us to deal with the slums, So between those two, our movement kind of took shape in terms of fighting for the housing and also fighting for open housing. And so, you know, I've gotten several calls, and I want everybody to know, I'm not sad. I feel sorry for those who are living on this earth and enjoying those things that Tim and other folks like him and Dr. King who did and fought to get, and they're not giving anything back. So Tim will always be remembered, and he will be living through all those things he did. But who you really feel sorry for are those people who God put on this earth, and they don't do anything, anything, but just suck up everything. And is the world a better place? And I would say because of Tim Black that the world is a better place. And God said, welcome home. You know, when you're a Christian, which I am, we know that he's going to be all right.
Alderwoman Tillman, this is Atiba. Thank you so much for taking the time to appear to give us this context. It is wonderful just to hear you articulate this. My question to you is, what do you think Mr. Black's perspective would be, given that he had done so much work in the good fight, about our efforts today?
Well, he certainly, you know, you don't have to even ask me. You can read his books and look at some of his statements, because he was active up until the end. So he understands the political situation that we're in right now. Have some folks who've gotten into office, and hard as he fought, you know, he coined the slogan plantation politics. He coined that. And he was he was always a progressive. He was always an independent. That's what he was, an independent, because he lived over in Hyde Park with some of those other ones. And he coined plantation politics, and he always was very active in trying to make sure you got some people who cared and was independent. You know, Tim ran for office about three times, too. He ran for state rep. And when he ran, Lou Jones, former state representative Lou Jones, who was not a state rep then, and Carol Moses of the Bronx, who was not in office, a bunch of us, we worked hard with trying to get him in there. Of course, he didn't make it, but he kept his political account open, so every time he can go, he ran. So he really ran against the machine. He didn't run when it was easy. See, it didn't used to be easy to run for office in this city. It was very dangerous. He ran at a time when it was dangerous. He'd be running us off the road. You know, we got our windows broken. It wasn't easy to run for office in this city under that machine, because they put their goons out there. He had courage to go up against that machine in spite of the danger. It wasn't like just going, vote for me, and talking to people. It was like you went up against the machine, and the machine came after you. And certainly they did that to Tim. And Tim was strong enough to just go up against them, go up against them and go up against them and still fight back. And that's when he coined this plantation politics. We coming off the plantation. The same way Harold Washington, who ran for office before he was ever elected, Tim was there with him. Dick Neuhaus, Tim was there with him. Tim was always there with independent people. A.A. Rayner, who happened, Tim wasn't caught up on no party like most of our people are, because Rayner was a Republican, but he did good for black people. A.A. Rayner and all that. So Tim have a legacy. The question I want to ask everybody who's listening, what is your legacy going to be? What have you done, and what will you do to make sure that we be better? What about the education system today? Tim fought to get rid of the Willie's wagon because children was not getting educated. Right now in the city of Chicago, our children are functionally illiterate. They cannot read. They cannot write. They do not have science. They do not have math. So what are you going to do? If you want to really be like Tim, then go fight for the right for everybody to have the right education, the balanced education, the right representation in government. I mean, just Tim, I mean, our God broke the mold when he made Tim black. And every inch of his life, was done for the good of black people and for humanity. So when I'm like the angels right now. I can feel, you know, he's gone. His spirit is gone. His spirit lives on, but and God have him now, but Tim lived a good life, and I want to say something about his wife, Zenobia. Yeah, whether she's listening or not, I was there when they got married. I remember when they got married, and she stuck by Tim through all of that. I think it was about 19.
Yeah, she said it was 40 years ago. 79
or 80. I was really there. We had a great reception and all, because Zenobia, it was in her rights, too. The reason they were able to come together is because she was very active with the A. Philip Randolph, and she was fighting on behalf of our people, too. So it was only natural for the two of them to get married, and she stuck with him through it all. Even during the time when he was ill or was trying to go places, she was there. Some people would say, I don't want to be bothered, I'm out of here. But she stuck, and I salute her, too. She can hold her head up because she's been right there, and we don't be sad about them. I mean, Tim did his job. He did what God told him to do. The question is, what are we doing?
Are you surprised, and do you remember, what high school did he teach at? Because he spent many, many years.
Well, he taught at city colleges.
He taught at city colleges.
I don't know what high school he taught.
School?
I know about him teaching at city colleges. He was very good at city colleges. Because, you know, he had Margaret Burroughs and all of them. They were very good friends. Dr. Burroughs was a teacher over at DuSable. Uh-huh. And I know, he was a Philip alumni, not a DuSable alumni. Tim is, I'm smiling because I'm, well done. They're going to say, well done, my good and faithful service. I think those who, you know, people come, they come around, they want to talk, and they just need to ask a question. It's like I told someone on my show Saturday. They said, do you get tired? I said, well, I can't afford to get tired because, after all, Dr. King gave his life. He got his brains blowed out. He didn't have to, but he gave it all till he left. And Tim gave it all. And as we salute and celebrate the life of Tim Yo Black, that we have to always recommit ourselves to get that independent political that he fought for all the time, to make sure that he's one of those people responsible for people being in office now. Make sure we do the best we can if you're in office. Let's fight for these children and make sure they have a decent education and get people in the type of housing and stuff they want. If you want to celebrate him, let's do it. And also purchase his books and read them and learn. So that's income for Zenobia, but it's also history for black people.
Especially, the Sacred Ground, the Chicago, the book that he wrote on the Chicago streets.
Mm-hmm,
living
mm-hmm.
up and fighting, like you said, and fighting, taking those punches and swinging, trying to swing back in Chicago.
Well, see, people don't—they walk around now and they just go where they want to go, and even though things be bad and children getting killed or whatever, they don't really understand. But it took courage. It don't take nothing for these people to do anything. They just send a little money or do a little something. But to be a Tim Yo Black, you have to be courageous. I mean, to go up against the machine, the Richard J. Daley machine, and all of those goons, I know because I was out there, and we went up against goons who was trying to put people in office. And to go up against that and stand your grounds and then coin the phrase plantation politics, and people say it now, but they don't know Tim Black coined that. And also to still love and to give so much. So he gave until he said, okay, I'm ready. Shoot, I'm tired. I've done my work, and I'm gone.
Alderwoman Tillman, what do you think is the best way for Chicago to remember him?
Well, I have to think about that because I just told you a lot of stuff.
You sure did.
There's all kinds of things we can do. We can do something that don't make no sense. I mean, we can do something that's ceremonial, and certainly the state is going to do it, the city is going to do it, the governor is going to issue a proclamation.
And they should.
Listen, if people are going to do that, the mayor is going to issue a proclamation, the aldermen's going to all get up on the floor, and they're going to talk, and then you're going to have the county, and then they're going to go back with business as usual. The educators probably going to issue one, and then the children still not going to be able to read. They're still going to be functioning illiterate because most of them are going to send their children to private school. The best, and we're going to do those things for Tim because he deserves all that honor. But the best way to honor Tim is to walk a mile in his shoes and try to do and be the best that you can be like he did. So when your time goes, somebody remember we can try to make sure these children are educated, make sure that we get people in office that's going to represent us. Just make sure that we care about our community and about mankind, about humanity. Like I'm black. Tim is doing. Tim fights for black folks, but he was a very humanitarian for all people. You know, he loved all people, and he was part of that independent movement. I sit there laughing because I think about all kinds of conversations I had with him, and think about that smile and whatever fights we had. Or, you know, because sometimes we'd be up against. I mean, not no negative fights. Just
right.
You're going to come up with best ideas, you fight back and forth. I remember the big fight about when we came here about the education. I just remember when Tim really said, no, you need to come here. He really told Dr. King. And Al Rabin and all of them, they were trying to get. He said, no, Dr. King, you need to come here. These children cannot read.
Former Alderman Dorothy Tillman is joining us on the phone right now, which was an alderman in the 3rd Ward from...
for ourselves. We're tired of beating our head against the wall and working with someone else. Say it loud. Say it loud. Say it loud. Say it loud.
Say it loud, say it loud, say it loud. How y'all doing this morning? I thought y'all needed all that song this morning. I play a little snippet of it, and y'all just kind of move on out the way and don't think about it. And whew, it's cold out there, y'all. Not cold, it's fresh and crisp. Temperature 40 degrees. You have to get used to it. But I feel all right. I put on my jogging suit and my little jean jacket. Somebody said, why don't you you can do your little green thing. Well, I said, no. Because I have to dress up if I do that. So when y'all see me in public, y'all see me all dressed up in here. I have also held my jogging pants and heaven knows what hat. So how y'all doing this morning? A lot going on in them. A lot of stuff going on this morning. It started going on yesterday and the days after that and all that so much. And I just don't know. I just don't know. But I ain't giving up, y'all. We got a lot to talk about. And I want y'all to get ready and to get ready to talk. First of all, I want to give my condolence to Zenobia Black and the Tim Black family. And I want to tell Zenobia that God got her back. You know, and everything going to be all right. As I said on VON the other day, that I don't feel all sad about Professor Black. He lived 100-and-some years old. Why everybody want to do all these commemorations and all that? If they want to do something, they should walk a mile in his shoes. So I really enjoyed talking about some of the stuff I said about him. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take that and put it on my Facebook, and y'all can kind of listen to what I said. Okay. Happy birthday to my Aunt Louise, my mama's baby sister. Today is her birthday. I was telling Ebony a lot of funny stories on the way here. I was telling her a lot of stories about when we were growing up. You know, it's really funny. You know, they're my aunt. They were young, teenage by junior, now was little. But what I want to talk about is several things today. You know, a lot of stuff is going on, and y'all might not be paying attention to this stuff. Y'all pay attention to how much gas costs? I went to fill my car up and $30 in half filled it. And it wasn't all the way empty. And y'all can say what y'all want to. But if you close down the pipeline and do all the other stuff, what do you expect? And then you try to beg for gas from Saudi Arabia. And they said, we ain't giving you nothing. Russia got all the gas now. Because they was giving the pipeline. These are just facts, y'all. And I'm going to tell you what I did do, though. I went and I bought a bunch of beans and peas. Brought a lot of frozen vegetables and canned vegetables, frozen. I make my own corn, my cornbread, and I'm from scratch. So I went and bought me two 5-pound bags of cornmeal and 2 5-pound bags of flour so I can make my cornbread if I have to. And I just brought a lot of stuff and oatmeal and cream of wheat and malted meal and all those things. And I bought a lot of almond milk that you don't have to put in the refrigerator. I bought almond and soy milk. That's so if things smooth over, you know. You can't tell me. Y'all tell me what y'all think. This stuff is done on purpose. I just can't see this being no accident. It just don't make no sense. It makes no sense whatsoever what's going on here. And y'all can still walk around with y'all head in the sand if y'all want to. Or you can get ready to do or think about what you need to do. And we used to have survivor kits anyway. We was taught to have survivor kits. I know the nation people have survivor kits, and I knew that Imam Barak or Kaweeda people had survivor kits. The black national community always had survivor kits. And black folks had survivor kits in the South because what my mama said, get a little piece of dirt, you got to have a window, a pot to piss in and a window to pour it out. But you also had a little garden in the yard. So that's how we made it, because we had greens and beans and cornbread and all that stuff. So it's really just kind of, this stuff is really strange. Well, we'll talk about it some more, though, because I really, if I got into it real deep with y'all, y'all would really want to understand. Y'all might think I'm too deep, so I'm going to leave that alone a minute ago. But some of the things I want to talk about now is economic education, as I do every year. Every week I've been doing this because y'all not looking. First Lady Jill came in town the other day and went to the Hispanic Museum, the Mexican Museum, which is all right. But and I say this for a reason. Why? Y'all have to understand why would she go, everybody pay that attention. And they should. I want this to be clear, that I'm not knocking anything these people are doing. I think my concern is what happened with us. People treat you the way you demand to be treated. And right now, every time you talk to people, they'll tell you, well, you know, we down and they up, and this is why you got to do that. They demand the respect, and they demand and education and all other stuff. So you had Jill Biden, First Lady, and Jesus Prickster, and the mayor, Lightfoot, the governor and the mayor. They was over there too. So you should ask yourself, why? No, they didn't visit anything major in the black community. You just need to ask yourself that. Now, the other thing I want to talk to y'all about is this. If you notice, the maps are still being drawn, y'all, so keep your eyes on the maps. You got to keep on watching that because we are kind of fractured in terms of what we are saying. We're not speaking with one voice in terms of our needs. People are kind of ignoring us. They have one voice. Their legal assistant is fighting for the remap. You got the Association of Corporate Responsibility fighting for the companies. You got the Defense League. You got the Hispanic Defense League, and you got the Mexican Defense League. They're looking at the elder, got the journalists, got all the stuff that I'm not going to go through. I might go through it as we go through today. And politically speaking, you know, even when they had the regular Democratic organization, the regular Democrats, they would meet and talk. And I'm not so sure, and if I'm wrong, and some of you black comedians, all of them listening to me, call me and tell me when you meet. I'm not so sure that all the comedians in Chicago, or in the state really, come together and look politically at what the landscape and what we need to do. They do that. They have meetings. And, you know, we used to have the state reps, the congressmen, the aldermen, the senators, all, you know, you have your office together. When I was in office, and my state rep was Paul Williams. Harold said, give me Paul. We gave Harold Paul. He took Jerry Washington's place. But we shared an office, and I worked very closely with our congressman. I had Bobby and Danny. And Bobby and Lou Jones had an office together. Why am I saying this? Because we worked together, we talked together. I remember when Paul wanted to do this whole thing for the judges. We all talked about it. But I think our people are kind of on their own, as they would say, cutting their own deals, doing their own stuff. And in the end, the community loses. And then they'll come tell you what all they brought to the community and what they did this. When you're looking at the community and you have to ask yourself the question, our community is going down, what's happening? And the only time, and that's, I don't know why this is, that you see black folks front and center talking on any media is about social justice or racism, systemic racism, or police and shot somebody. You don't see them front and center laying out what they're going to do to rebuild and maintain our communities. You don't hear that. Well, we got criminal justice. All our people are not criminal. And if we can get the school together, you might have less criminals. If we get more organizations, like when that boy got killed over there in the Latino community, what they did, they went and built a farm or something to take children to. So if I don't hear the fight, if I heard the fight for education, the way they fight about this weed, this cannabis, having a cannabis license. But I submit to you that if we would look at the educational system, you might have a different turnout. We need to do a forensic, if you're listening to me and you do a forensic audit of your particular community, and then you call back and tell me what's in it. I mean, what's in this? What do you have? We used to have things. We had stores. We had gas stations. We had restaurants that stayed open. Y'all remember on 51st Street, some restaurants all over used to stay open 24 hours. You can go leave the club and go get you some chili mac and go get you some other stuff. Or you had Gladys. We had our restaurants and our clubs, and we had our water holes. Well, we hired people and we did things. So when you systematically close out all those things, then you raise the property up so high. I was talking to a couple of seniors the other day. And they said, Dorothy, we got a sale. I said, I'm so sorry. She said, well, one sold to Hispanic, the other was sold to, I think, a Polish or a German man. They brought him a sack of money. And I know what they mean because I get a sack of money offered to me every week. Every week somebody said, don't you want to sell? We got your money here. And she said she had to sell. She had nobody to take her property and nobody to do this, nobody to do that. And that means that whole block is almost gone. But you don't have anybody that's earnestly in this city, all over the country, really, in major cities and places. Now they're moving down south. And that's what that's what you got to watch the move. Why they're doing, getting all the land in the north, the land in the north being gotten taken away or manipulated away from us. There's a move down in Mississippi, Alabama, in Georgia, especially Mississippi and Alabama. And see, y'all don't know about the Atlanta area of Georgia, but there's a lot of areas around Georgia, Savannah, a lot of areas. There's a move to take that land. So the question is, where do you go? What do you do? God ain't going to make no more land. I used to tell the elected officials, we would want, and I said, we got to hold on and mobilize together because we got all this land. All the land in the city of Chicago, even in Philadelphia and Detroit and other places too, Gary too, was represented by black folks. We was your representation, your council people in some places, all of them in Chicago, your state rep, your congress people. The land was represented by black folks. You had transportation. Your transportation, I used to always tell people, we had all the transportation. If you look at the way the transportation grid in Chicago was, and we kind of never understood, some of us, I did, some people never understood the unique position that the black community was in terms of land mass, in terms of how we were strategically located. Now, granted, I know that when you try to do something that all hell going to break loose and they're going to come after you. And that's to freak you out, to make you not want to do nothing. I know I got to take a break in a few minutes. Maybe 5 minutes I'll take one. Okay. Let me go so I can kind of defend some of the legislators. Not defend, but you have to have gut, true grit in order to fight this fight, especially for our people, the descendants of enslaved blacks, because our currency in our country is America. But they get you to hate in America. First thing, they begin make you look over there and start doing all that while they're taking all your stuff from over here. Mostly, like I was telling you about the organizations these people have, even for land and all of that stuff, they're not the only one have it. Other ethnic groups have it too, the Polish, the Asians. Everybody have their community, and they are all the organization intact to work slowly, solely on what's going to happen with their communities. Now, our community is doing a black and brown thing. They can't work on behalf of black folks. They think to work on behalf of black folks, that you hate somebody else. And that's not true. And folks respect you more if you come to the table with an agenda for your people. So when there's one among you who decide, and it's happened over and over again, whether you're elected, appointed or anointed, who really began to move to grow and to develop black people, they come after you. Now, let me tell you, this is no pity party, because I always, every move that have happened with me have been to do God's will, and I've been always directed by God from the time I was 9. So to be in office was not to be there to, you know, it was really what's working on behalf of black people. So I want you to be very clear on what I'm getting ready to say. When I was in office, We strategically organized and laid out the Third Ward so that the majority of the ownership and land and businesses was going to be owned by black folks. Now, you can say, oh, you can't. And I had people tell me you can't do that. I said, you can. You got Chinatown, Greektown, Little Italy. You got over there, Nine Little Village, and all of them. I said, why not? We just can't do that. So in putting together, you have to understand that I was the first one to put together a TIF, tax increment finance in the black community. It was given to me by Harold. Just going to kind of teach y'all a little bit today on education and economics. So you're going to have to bear with me. So I went to Harold and I said, I want a TIF. But first I studied what Chinatown had done. They did a TIF to expand China community where they brought in all Asians. So I got the person who wrote that TIF for it, and I toured the Chinatown and looked at what they had done. So put together a TIF. I said, Harold, I want a TIF. He said, no, that ain't going to work. And the guy said, yes, it will. He said, okay. So my first TIF was in 55th and the Dan Ryan, the Grand Boulevard Plaza. When you go in there, if you come into the entryway on 55th Street, there's a plaque you probably won't pay attention to. They need to put a light up that said that was dedicated to Harold Washington. And the reason it was dedicated to Harold Washington because it was the last economic development project that he worked on. Now, in that TIF, the first one that worked in the black, that was the first TIF in the black community. And then Alan Streeter went on and I showed him how to put together one, so he did the can company over there on Racine, I think. Well, he took the can company and he built some housing. And in that particular shopping center was 80% black people. We even put Illinois Bell over there. We had Walgreens over there. We took Tony Glenn and from the development and had him to put together one of the largest grocery stores it was. Everything, we had Maddie Thompson in there. We had Reggio. We brought Reggio up in there. And just a lot of, I say 70% of the business in there was black. And we had, everybody hollered, you got to have a training program. Well, we had a training program. We put together the Third World Partnership and we trained black. You had simple things, get up, brush your teeth, call me out, get ready for work. And because of all those jobs we created, we got won an award for making the largest job creation in an enterprise zone for black people. Why am I saying that? So after that worked, well, Harold passed before it was done. So after the Grand Boulevard Plaza, that's why we named the Grand Boulevard Plaza, because there was no grocery store, it was really awful over there. And, of course, black folks who say they want to have their own grocery stores, the same black folks who be talking after the fact, because it's easier to talk than to work, a lot of them wouldn't even go to the store. That boy had a beautiful store. I have pictures of it. It was so beautiful. He was a great handler, too, Tony Glenn. And so some of his stuff then began to sit and rot and stuff. So he eventually had to close. And that's because black folks did not patronize him. I remember Reverend Barrow put a shop in. She was trying to push people to get up there. She had shop ins, Reverend Willie Barrow, some push. So we did that. But then later on, so that was a TIF that we let set. We didn't touch it because TIF, you know, and we were going to use it to redevelop West Princeton and Shields, and I'll talk about that later. But I'm going to go back to the TIF in terms of the economics. So we put together a TIF. Third Ward had more TIFs. Third Ward was rich in TIFs. Of course, the money got used for a lot of other stuff. But it was really supposed to have been used for mostly for our black community to rebuild our businesses. Because that's how, see, those folks don't spend their own money. They go get money. And I don't know, sometimes our people don't know how to go get the money, or they're scared to get the money. They like to do ribbon cutting stuff or bring somebody else in. They don't, something is wrong. That's called post-trauma. But put together the Black Planners Association. I met with them, and I told them to give me a, what does it take to build this ward like a community? And they laid out. And, of course, we'll talk about that later. Like I said, this ain't to disparage nobody else or to have no pity party. I'm just trying to say, you got to think. what we have to do here. Because that's what these folks are taking all of our plans and they're using it. So they showed me. So we put, of course we did Pearl's Place down there. We had a big fight about that, but we did it anyway. And we did the South Loop Hotel, which was the first suite in the black community, but we got them to hire to help them. And we was going to build a conference center hotel on 51st from King Drive over to Calumet, 51st to, from 50 to 51st. That was going to be economics. And then you had your other stuff. I'm going to kind of skip around a little because I've got to take a break in a minute. But I'm saying, but we worked with all of our other people too, our other partners. Now, the American home builders was building new houses in the 4th Ward, which was Tony's Ward, and some other communities. The American home builders was a white group. The city gave them, and I got to take a break now, the city gave them the property for a dollar to get it back on the tax roll. I'm going to leave it right there, and I'm going to come back and tell you what we did. Talk of Chicago, 69 Devin Villian, our number 773-591-6090. We're streaming live, www.devinvillian.com. We're on iHeartRadio. Take us wherever we go. We're on Facebook, group Facebook, and we're on Blog Talk if you miss. Get your coffee, get your tip, and be gone for 2 minutes. I'll be right back.
You're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Dorothy. Tillman, that is, on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
WVON's Black Heritage Film Series rolls on Thursday, October 21st at 7 p.m. on Vaughn TV with a riveting documentary produced by Chicago native D. Shanson Berry. Join us for The Church House, The Black Church and Sexuality.
Sexuality is being talked about in the church. It's just not being talked about by the church.
The Church House challenges Christianity's norms on sexuality from those who fill the pews to those in the pulpit.
Before I'm a pastor, before I'm a preacher, a man, and I cannot neglect the temptations and the tendencies that I have as a man and ignore them simply because I'm passive.
The Church House leaves no stones unturned as it explores women's sexuality in the church and homosexuality in the church.
Show me anywhere within the synoptics where Christ condemns homosexuality. It cannot be done.
The Church House, The Black Church and Sexuality by D. Shanson Berry and Urban Winter Entertainment premieres Thursday, October 21st on Vaughn TV, WVON's digital streaming network. Watch it on Roku, Apple TV+, Amazon Fire, or at VON.TV. It's WVON's Black Heritage Film Series.
There are three things that you can be sure all human beings are going to do. They're going to drink water, they're going to eat food, and they're going to have sex.
Don't miss it.
Edgar sits in his parked car, which won't be parked for long because it's getting towed. Good thing he's joyfully scratching a new Extreme Cash instant ticket from the Illinois Lottery. Anyone could win in an instant. Play today. Game odds available on IllinoisLottery.com. Must be 18 years or older to play.
Look, staying healthy isn't easy. Watching your diet, hitting the gym, avoiding stress. But a good night's rest helps boost your overall health and wellness. And it couldn't be easier. The Sleep Number 360 smart bed effortlessly adjusts in response to both of you. The result? You wake up ready for anything. Proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. Don't miss our weekend special. Save up to $800 on Sleep Number 360 smart beds, plus special financing. Ends Monday. Special financing subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. See store for details.
Some people treat investing like a game. But Marcus by Goldman Sachs approaches investing in a smart way, with digitally managed portfolios that leverage Goldman Sachs strategies. So, do you want to play games, or do you want your money to work smart? You can money. Visit Marcus.com to learn more about saving, borrowing, and investing from Marcus by Goldman Sachs.
Investing involves risk and investments may lose value. Brokerage and investment advisory services by Goldman Sachs & Company, LLC. Member FINRA, SIPC. Lending and deposits products provided by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, member FDIC.
You're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Dorothy. Tillman, that is, on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Say loud, say it loud, say it loud. We've been talking about it since you born. I'm telling y'all, we can't quit, y'all, till we get out. We can't quit, because even though we do things and we get taken out of position, y'all, we're back. Talk of Chicago 1690. As we had the great WVON in the city of Chicago. You're here with Dr. Coffee Tea in a conversation with me, Dorothy Wright Tillman. Our number is 773-591-69. We're streaming live, www.wvon.com. We're at iHeartRadio. Take us wherever you go. We're on Facebook group, Facebook, and you get us on Blog Talk if you miss us. Okay, I'm going to go to the phone in a minute, and I'm going to try to do this. And when I come back, I'm just trying to tell y'all some stuff. And I'm reflecting today because after Tim Black passed and all the things he had done, and we just get up and we do stuff, and stuff be right before us. The question, what do we do? I talked about how he corn plantation politics. And for those who usually text me, I left my phone at home, so you text, I can't respond. So that's kind of what I'm just kind of reflective of. But let me just say this, and then I'm going to go to the phone in a minute, y'all, just for a minute, and then I'm going to keep on till we got to stop this, y'all, because you can't get power and render yourself powerless, then you don't need to be there. But let me, the home builders was getting, I was telling you that the city of Chicago was giving home builders land for a dollar to build houses. You see a lot of them, Fourth Ward, all over the place in the black community. And the premise was behind that they would put the property back on the tax roll. Because most of your land that was vacant was in the black community, man. I told you God didn't make it no more land. And we was controlling that land. And what they would do, all right, y'all, Ebony. So what they would do.
Former Alderman Dorothy Tillman is joining us on the phone right now, which was an alderman in the 3rd Ward from 1985 to 2007, and of course, a host right here on DON. Alderman Tillman, always my alderman, Dorothy Tillman, it's so good to be talking to you right now. Thank you so much for joining us here. Tell us how you're sitting with this sad news of Tim O'Connor.
Well, you know, if you believe in God and you understand that Tim did his work that God put him on his earth to do, you're not feeling sad. You're feeling glad that he's leaving some behind. That when people like Tim Black pass, their spirit now live on, and the work that they have done live on. Sometimes people go and they haven't done anything. They just come and suck up on everything and don't leave nothing behind, don't leave the world better than it was when they first came in. So certainly Tim left the world a world better. You know, I met Tim when I came here with Dr. King in 19. I met him in the summer of 64.
So,
and when
somebody
we first came,
we
was
okay.
Doing a northern tour to decide what city we were going to work in. And Tim was one of those people who really was lobbying to get Dr. King to come to Chicago, because we did have Philadelphia. We had Philadelphia, Cleveland, Detroit.
Cleveland.
We was all over the place
that
touring.
Doing. Why am I saying that was a land question, y'all? And then say, over here is going to be for entertainment. It's going to be for housing. And then when you come down on Indiana, you see those houses that look like with different colors. They wanted to put a bunch of condos up there by outside people. I said, you're not going to do that. That's too much land. I think it started at 48th down to 43rd. You see them houses kind of built, because I always try to make them look like the built like the houses that was in the community. I said, I'm not signing off on that. Because at that point, the alderman had control of the land. I don't know what they have control of now. They might have given all that up. I said, no way. So I got the black woman who had the ability and had worked in putting together deals and stuff to put together that, and I gave her that land. I signed off on her having the land. And I told her, but she had to have, based off the income in that too, so she had as much based off the income as anything. So within that community, we put a lot of housing that was based off the income. So people can be able to stay too. So when you pass and see them little red houses and all that, and they got really angry, and I'm coming to a point, and I'm going to go to the phone, and I'll finish when I come back. When you work on behalf of black people, all hell break loose. And that's why most folks be trying to stay below the radar because they don't want hell to break loose. And we'll get into reparation and other stuff later. But it was a whole thing of terms of how that community was planned. Joanne Watson in Detroit had planned Detroit similar, and they came after her. And now you see what's going on with Detroit. And then we met with the people in Philadelphia, some of those council people. We met with people in Columbus, Ohio, and Cleveland, Ohio, Milwaukee. So this is what y'all can do. We were fit to do it. Let me tell you so. But all hell broke loose. And that's what most folks was frightened of. And I'm telling you all this to say, they shot Dr. King in the head, so ministers can say, I'm not getting my brain's blown out. They shot Malcolm. You can't stand up. And then when you start moving to do on behalf of black people, they'll come after you. That's my point I'm trying to make. And most folks don't want to do the fight. It's not easy, but you got to be committed to doing the fight. And I found out one thing is that the people will fight with you. I remember somebody told me, Dorothy, stop that black stuff. I tell you, girl, Ebony, you stop that black stuff. I tell you that you ain't going to get back in. That's why I got to stop the black stuff. Because then you can't do that. That's why can't I do that? So that was part of it. Even down to how they lied and tried to take theater. Because in Chicago, in this country, we have a large theater, but it's owned by black people. There's no theater in the country like that. They didn't want us to control our culture. So it's a whole lot of stuff. But let me go to the phone, and I'm going to come back. I'm going to be teaching and talking today because I want you to understand that it can be done and why people don't do it. And maybe you need to get around some of your elected officials and try to get them to unite and to do something. Frank.
Hey, good morning, Ms. Tillman. How you doing?
I'm fine, Frank.
Yes, you are, and you always spot on. Ms. Tillman, I want you to give me a second. I don't take a whole lot of time, but I'm going to keep it real about these businesses and our economic, not being in control of our economic engine in our community. It's because we are allowing it, okay? We're allowing it. We're the only community. The point I'm trying to make is, what do you think will happen if we go out of Chinatown over a black business up in the Jewish community? Over in Pilsen, to over a black-owned business, they're going to run your butt out of there, okay? That's if you get in there because the roadblock already set up to keep you out. But if you have to get in there, they're not going to patronize it. As a matter of fact, they're going to run you out of it, okay? We're going to have to be strong just like God told Joshua and Aaron that you're going to take the promise. We're going to take this back. We are going to have to shut these foreign businesses down when I'm out of our community and tell this black mayor, the black able and the governor, we want resources to open up our own business because we're not going to allow anyone to over there. Now, we're going to go through a little bit of hurt, a little bit of pain because everything is shut down. But when you're born into this world, the jump starts to breathing on your own, you get spanked on the bottom. So you got to go through a little bit of pain. You're going to start breathing on your own. So I'm sending a shout out to all these cliques and to all these leaders, these gang members. You know what I'm saying? If you want to do something positive for the black community for a change, shut these foreign businesses down in our business and run them out of there so we can take over the economic engine because next thing you know, here come the Afghans. And we want to tell this.
Oh, the Afghans are already here. Frank, you see, you always say.
We want to be told that you have to have no license too. You know, people have to open your own business. We want to be told that too. We're going to have to shut these businesses down, Ms. Tillman.
I'm going to address that on the other side. I got to address that to you. I can't address it now.
You see what I'm saying, Joe?
Yeah, I'm going to address that. I'm going to address that on the other side of the break.
Okay, Ms. Chairman, we're
going to
take it back.
We're going to
stop.
But I'm going to address it on the other side of the break. You must have didn't hear all the stuff that I was saying earlier.
Yeah, because my radio kept phasing in and out. I don't know why on Saturday, you know what I'm saying, I got to move my radio around to get a clear signal. I had to jump on my faucet and tune in.
And sometimes they even mess with sometimes. Y'all calling, I'm telling you, we're going to keep on. Look, I'm going to address it on the other end. Sometimes they be messing with the signal because, you know. But anyway, I'm going to address it on the other end. I'm going to do it after the break. When I take the break, I'm going to come back. We're going to teach and we're going to talk. We're going to teach and we're going to talk. And we're going to hear from you.
And also address allowing them to move in our community, too. I'm not a racist person, but we can't move in that community. They'll run us out of it.
I'm going to address that. I'm not emotional today. I'm going to see what we're going to do here. I'm going to address it on the other end, okay?
But that's the only way we're going to get it back. Thank you, Michelle.
Well, thank you. I want to address that because I think there's some flaws in there, Frank, and I'm going to have to address it when I come back. Tax doctor. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes.
Did you finally read my report?
No. I got it, and I went and got all the stuff from the treasurer on all the billings and all the stuff. I went and got some more information to go with it.
Okay.
What are you?
Let me say this. We have to understand what Malcolm said. You can't get mad if another nationality come into your community and open up a business, but you do have the right not to patronize that business.
Okay. Let me tell you this, tax doctor. I took all the time to kind of go through stuff, how things work. And I tell you what we did, and I was going to go back to the other side. And I don't have a deaf ear in terms of what I just said about building your community. And you can't – that's got to be a partnership between government and the community to build a community.
Absolutely.
Okay. And that's why I'm interested in the tax stuff, because I do – when I have time, I'm going to really get into it, because the tax is also running our people away. So it got to be a partnership between government and the community, the same way with education. So that's why today I'm taking a different approach – trying to talk about some of my experience so y'all can understand what it takes to build and what it takes to do and why some folks don't do it. So I'll keep listening. On the other side of the break, I'm going to answer some of your questions, y'all. Thank you. Thank you, tax doctor. Okay. Okay, which one am I looking at? That one, okay. It's because I'm black, y'all. I don't know if it's because I'm black or what it is. But I was trying to explain to y'all what was really going on in terms of what it takes to build a community. And it seems that other folks come in and they immediately build communities. And they do the things that it takes. What we do, we didn't used to, but now we allow other folks to. It's a lot into this, y'all. And it's been... You know, systemic racism, it's deeper than systemic racism. Economic and education, too. So it's some, and the same people telling y'all to holler that are the ones who have y'all taking, they're not talking about school and economics for you. But anyway, so I'm going to talk both things. We're going to talk, and we're going to talk, and we're going to educate. And I'll take some of your questions. Talk of Chicago, 69 WVON, 703-591-69. 591-69, and we are streaming live, www.zoomin.com. We're on iHeartRadio, take us wherever you go. We're on Facebook, group Facebook, and Blog Talk. Dorothy Wright Tillman, coffee tea, and a conversation with me. I'm going to continue this conversation this morning on the other end. Get your coffee, get your tea. Come on back and talk to me.
The talk of Chicago is
in this world of no pity, I was raised in
the Aubrey to death while he was jogging in a Brunswick neighborhood in February 2020 because they claim they thought the black man was a burglar. Prosecutors plan to argue that the shooting was racially motivated. The trial is set to begin October 18th.
In September of 2020, Daniel Prude died from suffocation after Rochester police placed a spit hood over his head. Now the Rochester Police Department is connected to the death of another black man. Police released body cam footage of the deadly officer-involved shooting of 24-year-old Simran Gordon. It happened October 6th as police responded to a robbery call from a dollar store. The department says Gordon fired the first shot, leading officers to return fire, but Gordon's family says there wasn't an exchange of gunfire. It was a complete and total murder. They want African-American New York Attorney General Letitia James to conduct a complete investigation into Gordon's death. It's the latest incident to put the Rochester Police Department under scrutiny. In March, body cam video shows an officer pepper spraying a black woman who was clinching onto her young daughter. This is also the same department that's responsible for pepper spraying a 9-year-old girl back in January.
There is now a federal investigation into what happened when an Indianapolis, Indiana police officer kicked a handcuffed, homeless black man in the face during an arrest last month. The Black Information Network's Mike Moore picks up the story from here.
John E. Childress, the acting U.S. attorney in Indianapolis, said his office and the FBI are both involved. Indianapolis police suspended Sergeant Eric Huxley, who was white, after releasing video of the arrest. Prosecutors in Indianapolis are pressing ahead with charges of their own. Huxley can be heard on video saying he meant to use his foot to keep the man, Jermaine Vaughn, under control, but missed and kicked the black man in the face.
Mark Robinson does not speak for North Carolina. Democratic Governor Roy Cooper made that statement while speaking to reporters about comments the black lieutenant governor made back in June regarding teachings about homosexuality and transgender studies in North Carolina schools. The footage from a church appearance shows the Republican calling the teachings filth. Governor Cooper also confirmed that Lieutenant Governor Robinson has no intention of resigning, despite calls from critics.
And the National Civil Rights Museum in Memphis, Tennessee, honors former First Lady Michelle Obama. Mrs. Obama and others were praised during a virtual presentation at the 30th Annual Freedom Awards, live from the Orpheum Theater in Memphis. The event also marked the 30th anniversary of the NCRM. I'm Jaleesa Chapman, along with Ray Harris, on your home for 24/7 News, the Black Information Network.
WVON's Black Heritage Film Series rolls on Thursday, October 21st at 7 p.m. on Vine TV with a riveting documentary produced by Chicago native D. Shanson Berry. Join us for The Church House, the Black Church and Sexuality.
Sexuality is being talked about in the church. It's just not being talked about by the church.
The Church House challenges Christianity's norms on sexuality from those who fill the pews to those in the pulpit.
Before I'm a pastor, before I'm a preacher, I'm a man, and I cannot neglect the temptations and the tendencies that I have as a man and ignore them simply because I'm passive.
The Church House leaves no stones unturned as it explores women's sexuality in the church and homosexuality in the church.
Show me anywhere within the synoptics where Christ condemns homosexuality. It cannot be done.
The Church House, the Black Church and Sexuality by D. Shanson Berry and Urban Winter Entertainment premieres Thursday, October 21st on Vaughn TV, WVON's digital streaming network. Watch it on Roku, Apple TV+, Amazon Fire, or at VON.TV. It's WVON's Black Heritage Film Series.
There are three things that you can be sure all human beings are going to do. They're going to drink water, they're going to eat food, and they're going to have sex.
Don't miss it.
Mental health is very stigmatized in our society. We're told not to prioritize our mental health because there's something wrong with asking for help. Although advocacy and awareness about mental health is increasing, especially in work and school environments, many people still suffer from mental health issues and cannot access the resources necessary to help them. Hi, this is Dana Devine, host of Equal Health, Equal Hope. This Saturday on the show, my guest and I will discuss mental health in the Black community. Saturday at 11 a.m., listen to Equal Health, brought to you by Equal Hope. Everyone deserves the best possible health care.
This is P. Ray of Black Excellence Hour, a show for people with high self-esteem. As we battle COVID-19, be sure to heal yourself internally by using your God-given immune system as well as any other treatments you choose. Be sure to take lots of vitamins, bake your melanin in the sunshine, and sweat a couple times a week. Put that pop down and drink water to build and hydrate your body from the inside. God gave everybody more than a little common sense, so bring it with you this Sunday to Black Excellence Hour at 5 p.m. on WVON.
Now more than ever, we need a reliable news source to tell our story from our perspective. The Talk of Chicago has joined the Black Information Network to bring you top-of-the-hour news from around the nation. If it's happening in Black America, it's on the Black Information Network. Now you can start your day every morning at 5 with one full hour of news from the Black Information Network, WVON, and the Black Information Network, because truth matters.
Bethany is standing in her basement, which has just been flooded by a burst pipe. Make that two burst pipes. Luckily, she's gleefully scratching a new Extreme Cash Instant Ticket from the Illinois Lottery. Anyone could win in an instant. Buy in-store now. Game odds available on IllinoisLottery.com. Must be 18 years or older to play.
The Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
In women under 45, breast cancer is more common in black women than white women. Overall, black women are more likely to die of breast cancer. It's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Boob up. Schedule your mammogram today.
Live from the Xfinity Studios at WVON.
We're your
Hashtag Dorothy Tillman on 1690, The Talk of Chicago.
Ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop.
I don't mind. Like I told y'all, I understand. I think it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. It's someone you got an understanding of what you're doing, and you can go to the mountaintop. See, in the meetings, they just talk about these mountaintop experiences. Y'all don't really understand when y'all hear Dr. King say that. When you have a mountaintop experience, that's almost an experience with God. When you're at the top of the mountain and you experiencing a relationship and a feeling with God directing you, that's why he said mountaintop metaphor. I've been there, you know, to the mountaintop. And once you went there, he allowed me to look over and see what was going to go on, that God allowed me. And for those people who don't believe in God, you don't get none no way, because there is a God. And there's so many people leading out people astray like it's not a God. And that. All this other stuff. That's why. So it's a whole nother chapter of what I'm going to talk about with it. But that's not King Mem. Because we would sit around sometimes and talk about that. It took Bevel to explain that mountaintop experience. It's a hell of a experience, the mountaintop. It's a feeling like deeper than the Holy Ghost. But you just, and that's when you just kind of, you know. Anyway, it's 7 o'clock. Wherever you are in the country, in the state, in the world, we are. Getting ready to take that deep breath, because there's nothing wrong with being black. Folks think it is. There ain't nothing wrong with black, being black. It's great to be black because everything comes from black. Take a deep breath. Your heart and your mind is one. When Jesus said your heart and your heart, he means your mind too, because that's where God dwell at. Take a deep breath, y'all. Black. Come on, y'all. We got to do the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Black. One more time, y'all. Black. Titus. Black. Is that black enough for you? Hey! Ain't nothing wrong with being black. make up your mind.
I come here tonight and plead with
you. All my calls drop, y'all. Y'all call me back. I don't know why they dropped.
Believe that you're somebody. So,
I got a board open for y'all. The calls all dropped at one time.
Last night, nobody else can do this for us. No document can do this for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do this for us. No Kennisonian or Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do this for us. If the Negro is to be free, he must move down into the inner resources of his own soul and sign with the pen and ink of self-assertive manhood his own Emancipation Proclamation. Let anybody take your manhood. Be proud of our heritage. As somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of. Somebody told a lie one day. They couched it in language. They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms of the word black. It's always something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure. Ha! But I want to get the language right tonight. I want to get the language so right that everybody here will cry out, yes, I'm black, I'm proud of it, I'm black and beautiful.
Yes, I'm black, I'm proud of it, I'm black and I'm beautiful. You need to hear more of that stuff from Dr. King, and with y'all hear all that stuff. Oh, Lord, I'm back, y'all. Talk of Chicago, 6090 Reviewing. I'm on 773-591-1690. We're streaming live, www.vun.com. We're on iHeartRadio. Take us wherever we go. We're on Facebook and group Facebook, and I tell you, and Blog Talk if you miss us. Yeah, y'all, what I told y'all this morning, I'm teaching and talking, so y'all on the line, I'm going to talk a little bit, and I'm going to get y'all a little bit, because there's so much stuff. You know, what made me decide to do this morning was because when Professor Black passed, and I was talking about him on the radio, I was saying, we need to emulate, and then Melody was saying how she had talked to me. She started with me, and I haven't set to finish. It is hard for me to talk about myself. Melody said on that other day, you know, I can't get Dorothy to talk about herself. Well, it's difficult because we know there's no power in I. There's only power in we if it's just you and God. And that's what we was taught, so I guess so. So I just felt like this morning to just kind of talk to y'all a little bit so you can understand. So I'm going to talk a little bit, and in about a few minutes, I'm going to take some calls over here. We're going to talk. We're going to take the calls because we're in a very serious state here, y'all. I was telling you how hard it is sometimes for people to take a position because they be worried about their life or their position. You know, we had dynamite put by our office. You know, there's corn off the, from 47 down to 45th to keep it from blowing. So when the union was mad at us, they put so much money in there. Everybody was mad because I said, get out the way. You won't train our people. So we did. We brought folks there and we trained. They was really building those houses. That was just some of it. And I was telling you about the TIFs. In the TIF, there was I was taught how to port TIF. So I ported the TIF so they could touch, which meant that you could transfer some of the money to another place that didn't have as much. And that was really, I want y'all to know, the reason that I put those TIFs in place in the third ward and the whole ward was to use it for economics for black people. We even had a TIF over in industrial TIF where we was going to be dealing with industrial. And that was over 47 over west on West End where we was going to do the industrial TIF so we could begin to do industrial. It was really planning. And these people said, this woman is serious. And then a couple of them looked at my history and saw that I was from Dr. King and my organizing ability and began to look at talking to these other council people about how they can save their community. I even spoke to the council people in Detroit. I went and had I spoke personally to them in their council meeting. They let me talk to them, but other than that, some of the other ones came to Chicago and we met with them. But it really was a plan, and you have to have a plan. You have to work the plan. And, you know, they come try to buy y'all. But I always tell people that if you take care of the community, you'll be taken care of because you're part of the community. And that's why a lot of our people get in trouble. They get in trouble with money. They get in trouble with other stuff because they don't see past what they're in and what you know. And sometimes they get nervous. That's why they shot Dr. King in the head. So the preacher can say, I'm not going to get my brains blown out. I'm not going to do this, shot Malcolm. I'm not going to talk about no black stuff. So it's not easy, but you have to understand government. And I think a lot of time our people go in office, they don't, a lot of them don't even know the Constitution. That's why these other folks beating us upside the head with our own Constitution. A lot of them don't understand the seat they have. And you have to, you know, you have to take on something to take on these people. These people, they're vicious when it comes to only to black people. Only to black people do these people try to make sure that you don't build communities. Because if you stay a neighborhood, then they can always take you. So if you look at our communities across the country, you see, especially in the north, you see those communities dying out and other folks stepping in, and they are immediately building businesses and housing and communities. And one of the first things they do is build up whatever faith they have. And then they have to talk black folks is moving away from God. When all of our leaders believed in God, and all of our leaders came from God that I saw when I was growing up. I didn't see no leaders that did not believe in God. When you look at our struggle in this country, and I'm going to come to the phone in a minute, and next week I'm going to talk about the whole question of the educational struggle, because I was going to talk about it today, but I don't have the time to mix it because I want to talk to you too. But, you know, if you look at, let's go back to enslavement. They folks want to keep making you holler about systemic racism and justice. This never economics, never education. The only time a black leader really step out is when somebody got shot and we got to take care of this. And I'm not saying they shouldn't, but they should also be leading in education and economics. They take this and use it like he said plantation politics. Well, you want to? I'm not going to give you this permit. I'm not going to do this. What you got to do this? It's really kind of a sick thing there. Then other people come and take our community. They immediately build. They deal with their schools. They deal with this. They deal with that. They build communities, and that's why it was really. I mean, I had a bunch of folks tell me, you better stop that black stuff. I heard it, girl. And then even people who moved in some of those houses said, oh, we want her gone because she's talking. Now, they didn't even know the houses that I had built that I talked black stuff. Oh, no, we don't want all that stuff. We want to integrate community. Not understanding that you have to build off your strongest. What is your strength? Our strength was our culture and our faith. So how do you build based off of that? How do we take back our culture and stop sharecropping it? That's why we'd have a festival with over 300,000 people in the street bringing it home to me. But the thing of it was to really develop community. There, you tell me any other person, y'all hang in there, she's going to answer. Any other person, a race of people that was fighting on behalf of their people that they came after. None of them. They help them. The last thing, and I'm going to come to the phone because there's so much stuff to talk about. Well, I don't know what's going on, whether there's still an industrial tip on the West End, and I might look it up and see. And that was really to do industrial. But nobody, I'm telling y'all have to be very clear. God don't make them old land. I remember Reverend Sampson telling me, he said, Edasa, that's what he calls me. He said, they're coming after your butt. That's why he said that. You talking about that land question. I said, I know. But you came back up. See, Dr. King said you can take this body, but you can't take my spirit. My soul belongs to God. And when you're on God's work and when you're doing what's right, you cannot afford to do nothing else. Now, I had plenty of chances to back up, but I didn't. We can't. And so what we got to do now, we can't give up the little bit that we have left. We got to figure out how to keep the little bit we have left and to build on it. And we need to talk to our elected officials We need to tell them that the last thing they need to do is be fighting. And some of our leaders are fighting for these bills, too, and they haven't read them. This bill and Nancy got in Congress. They're right here trying to give the illegal public housing, the right to vote, all that stuff. You're working against yourself. $600, if you put it in the bank, any transaction with $600, the IRS get you. It's a lot. They got all that other old free stuff y'all hear, but it's some deep stuff. And the free stuff they have in there is not for you. We work against ourselves without knowing it. Because sometimes our laziness, we won't read, we won't do. That bill is terrible. And I told you to call your congresspeople and tell them, do not pass that mess. But we don't know. I read some leaders tell me, we need to pass it. The voting right bill is the same way. Pass. We already have a voting right bill. Go vote. More of us vote than anybody else. But to say, give illegals the right to vote. Now, they finna build some. They tore our public housing down. Now, they finna build public housing. Y'all don't understand. We don't need nobody to build public housing. We need them to rebuild those houses they tore down for us that they promised a third, a third, and a third. Now, let me go to the phone. It's time to go to the phone. Green, good morning. How you doing?
I'm fine, Sister Tillman. I just honor you today because when you brought God into the picture, half of black people are spiritual people.
Right.
And then our moral standard that we learned, my father was my pastor. My son is 37 years old, living in L.A., a deputy sheriff. And I called him one day and he said, Daddy, you and Granddaddy gave me everything. Everything I need I got from you and Granddad, basically, about manhood and righteousness.
Right, right.
And when the black community step away from their moral standard.
Yes.
You see, people don't want to go to church or understand. And I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about spirituality.
I know what you're talking about.
When you touch God. And God touched you.
Yeah.
I went through Chicago public educational system. I wasn't the brightest bulb on the tree, but God, I got five children. I have a beautiful home. My wife has two master's degrees. But the thing is, when you have God, doors open for you that don't open for other people. And our people perish because they disconnect from God. And I'm just so in you and Reverend Jackson and all the black leaders that mean the most to our community, we get tired, our ears get heavy, and we don't understand the value of Dorothy Tillman. We don't understand the value of Harold Washington. When I say understand the value, when we learn to love God, we learn to love and respect each other and ourselves.
Well, we can't. Let me say this. Green, I'm a guy, I got a full bank of calls. Let me just say that.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Right. You call them the South Suburb, too. Let me just say that all throughout enslavement, on through everything, through Jim Crow, through now, we've always had God. And they have tricked our people out to not understanding that God is our, you know, we have to have God. We got to have God. Thank you so much, Green. Call again now. Thank you. I tell you. Hey, Lance. Hello?
Yes, good morning.
Grace, good morning.
Yes, good morning. Grace and peace be upon you, my sister, from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Wait, yes, before you start, man. Before you start, who won that seat? Who won the seat in the mayoral race?
Boston.
You know, you had two. You had two foreigners. Huh?
In terms of the primary election, there was a Chinese lady by the name of Wu, W-U.
Right, so when is the gentleman?
Another foreigner. To be perfectly honest with you, it's the date escapes me. It's in October, but the date escapes me right now.
Well, she won because, let me say this. Wait, she won because the black community had a black candidate they didn't support. But go on, what you call for?
I just wanted to, reiterate the fact that, yes, we do need to come back to Bible, and education and economics are very, very essential. But, my sister, we have been bombarded on so many different levels in the taxes. Our taxes keep escalating, and just so many things that beset us. But so our only hope. And we need to do one thing in the midst. we need to define what it means to fight. Because Fred Hampton, former Black Panther in Chicago, he said that politics is war without bloodshed, and bloodshed and politics is war with bloodshed. So we have to learn how that we're not going to be able to get everything, okay, if we don't establish and define what the word fight means. Because I think we're too eager and fall into this particular, malaise that only thing we need to do is just march.
Yes, well, I think that marking, I think that's what's
at some point in time we need to fight.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Lance. Thank you.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Okay, I promised to, I told Frank on the other side I would answer when he was saying we just need to stop going to these stores. You can't just shut something down without a purpose to say we just ain't going to none of these folks' stores and you don't have no other stores in your community, then where you going? That's why you got to start from, that's why I told the whole thing about building the community and building it like we have our own things in there. And that's where you have government and the community working together. And you know, when you're trying to build something and somebody won't give you a permit because they want to play power or they've cut deals with somebody else to let them take that lot to do something else with, we're the only race in this country that do not build communities. What we got to do is build communities. Just say, I ain't going to that store. And we're not going here. No, you got to build communities, then they'll go. And the last thing is, Frank, that's what I was saying on the other side of the answer, is that you go to Chinatown, y'all eat a lot of Chinese. You don't see no black folks working in Chinatown. You don't see no black folks working in Little Village, Little Italy. All these other ethnic groups come and they build their communities and they don't hire us. Interesting thought. Let me go to the phone. Hey, good morning, Mama D.
Oh, hallelujah. Greetings. I can say this in 30 seconds if you just let me finish. It is written in the Black History Bible book, whose hero is a woolly-haired man with bronze-colored feet to match his bronze-colored face, that I do not pray for the world. I pray for those that are in the world and not of it, like I was in it and not of it. It is spiritual succession time. It is also written, the sins of the fathers are visited on the children throughout the generations. And Reverend Dr. Prophet King said, don't let anybody take your manhood. In conclusion, today is Atonement Day and Spiritual Succession Divinity Day in Chicago through City Council resolution since October 2nd, 1995. My question, since thousands of black men from Chicago went to the Million Man March in Washington, D.C., do you think any of them would care enough to go to Phillips High School at noon and show some respect for our black children?
Okay.
That are being killed on the street and shot inside the school.
Okay. All right, I'm going to ask you.
Manhood love. Why not?
Thank you. I'll discuss it on the other side of the break. I'm going to try to take, when I take on the other side, because I'm going to try to take as many calls before I go to the break. Excuse me. And somebody got in what now? I don't know who name it is, so I'm not going to get them every time I know what name they are. Don't ask me in what now. Don't give me a name. Israel.
How you doing?
I'm all right.
Alderman. That's good. I want to do like Mama D. I would do hallelujah greeting. I don't know if anybody knows what hallelujah means, but that's a whole.
And so it is.
Subject.
And let it is. Yeah. Hallelujah. That's it.
Yeah, hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Uh-huh. Yahweh. But no, I called in because I heard you talking about spiritual and God, and it's that time. Our people, we're not just the only people in Chicago getting disrespected. Everywhere we on the face of this earth, they are putting us at the bottom of the totem pole.
Well, let me tell you that. Wait. I can't deal with the earth. I got to deal with America. Because everybody coming here, and we around here letting everybody make us hate it, and we getting it. When you look at other parts of when you look at other parts of these countries, other parts of the earth, these folks are on in their land, and they're allowing other folks to come take all their resources from them. Now, right now, we're in America, and we are giving up all of our rights to what it is. And everybody else, I'm trying to get there because I want the education, I want the jobs, I want to build a better life, I want to be the doctor, I want to be that. And we tell our folks, don't you look at that kind of stuff. All you got to do is over and over just be beaten down. Don't have education. Don't have economics. The only time our people speak out, oh, that's systemic. or that's that, or that. The only time they can speak out is over the hurt, and I'm not saying you should not speak out about those ills, but that's the only thing we get our leaders to talk about, Israel.
They ain't my leaders. They misleaders. So I was just trying to make a statement. And I know some other Israelites be calling in. Y'all be battling. You know, so I forgot his name. Jacob, I think. But I just want to say we are the true people of the Bible. That's
no, I don't battle with Jacob. He don't need to call me every week and tell me. And this, if he Israelite, that's him. But he don't worry about Jacob.
No, it's cool. The point is, I'm saying we all Israelites. We're in that Bible. We're not spiritual. We're not religious. We're just spiritual. So I heard you mentioned that, and I heard some of your callers. So I'll just say, if they read Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, it'll tell us everything.
Yeah, Deuteronomy and Leviticus, too. Leviticus will give you your diet. But I thought you was going
to eat. Yes.
Yeah, it's the 11th chapter, I think it is. But anyway, I thought you was going to talk about construction. So, okay, thank you, Israel, because Israel's out there in the construction. He kind of know what. Now, I'm going to take what now. I'm ready for the break. I'm going to take this last call. I'm going to take a break, y'all. Y'all call in. I got a few lines open. I should not take – I'm going to take Anita, because then what now need to tell me their name, tell everyone to find out their name. Anita?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Father God and Father Harold Washington, we got to keep the good legacy going. It did not start with Barack Obama, and it won't end with him. But I want to say this. Elijah Muhammad, when he could – I guess that we didn't get tips and all of that. He went overseas to get his money. I think we should deal with the Arabs. I think we should have some kind of job situation where we should build a hospital. Elijah Muhammad wanted a hospital. I think they could help us with eating better since slavery, since we got the garbage of the food in slavery and causing our health problems, and go on and build something around, you know, hospitals and having them come over here and help us with the medical care and developing our doctors and things like that, because we need to rebuild Chicago, give those children a future.
I'll deal with that on the other end of the break, Anita. I heard you, and I'll talk about it on the other end of the break. You through?
Well, I just wanted to say the Michael Jackson Museum could also be something, too, that could draw international business that our people could benefit from and have jobs from.
All right. Thank you. Okay. All right. That'll be my last call before the break. Can I take one more call? Huh? I'm going to skip over to and what now was Art, huh? Now, what now, Art? I'm taking you before I go take a break.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine.
Yes. And what now is just a statement. I agree with everything.
They just didn't have a name up there. That's all. I didn't know who that was.
No, it's not a problem. Mm-hmm. I understand. We need to deal with community codes of conduct and family value system. That is the biggest problem that we have. Once you put community codes of conduct and family value system in place, all these other facets will fall in place, because you know, Dorothy, when you had a family and you have parents, you had codes of conduct, it taught you how to vote, how to read, how to conduct yourself. It taught you everything you need to know, civics, religion. It taught you everything we needed to know. And until we get back to the black family, the black man, the black woman, and black power, we're going to have big
talk
problems.
I'm talking about that on the end, too. Black man, black woman. Did you listen to me from the beginning of my show?
Yes, ma'am. Yes,
okay.
Ma'am. Absolutely.
Okay.
So I'm just saying that, say, because this whole gun shooting, all this stuff is a surprise. This is not a surprise. I kept on saying that until we get back to the community code, we need to have a black summit for the community to get together with righteous people and start to bring our community together. We're going to be in trouble.
Well, you know, if you get my son's book,
yes,
The Black Patriots, and I think people should get it, because it goes from the time we was enslaved, from the first black man on up to here, in terms of how we did and what we did and how we did in this country. And if you notice, throughout that whole thing, you're going to see a black code of conduct, and you're going to see folks that believed in God. Thank you, Art. I'm going to talk some more when I come back. Look, I got to take a 2-minute break, y'all, so I got a few lines open if y'all want to talk to me. Talk of Chicago, 69 David VON. Our number is I got 30 seconds to do this. Okay, 10 seconds to do this. I thought I was right. Talk of Chicago, 69 David VON. Our number 773-5969. We're streaming live. www.von.com. We're on iHeartRadio. Take us wherever you go. We're on Facebook. Group Facebook. We're on Block. I'll give you a miss. Get your talk, coffee, get your tea, and come back and talk to me, because we're talking conversation, y'all, economic education in our community. I'll be right back.
October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and our friends at Access Community Health Network want you to know it's not just a month, but a movement.
Did you know that there are many ways to treat breast cancer? Surgery, radiation, hormone therapy, chemotherapy, and targeted therapy are 5 treatment options, with surgery being the most common. Second is chemotherapy, which uses medication to either destroy or slow down the growth of cancer cells. The third most popular is radiation therapy. It uses high-energy rays to kill cancer cells. Consult with your doctor to find which treatment is best for you. Regular mammograms can help lessen the severity of the treatment. This message is brought to you by Access Community Health Network.
October is National Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and Access Community Health Network wants to make sure that women take charge of their health. Beyond the virus, we all need to get back on track with our checkups and preventative screenings, and we know early detection saves lives. Take the time and schedule your mammogram and checkup today. If you are in need of a provider, call Access today at 866-267-2353. That's 866-267-2353. Remember, early detection saves lives.
It's time to focus with Robert McKay, Sunday afternoons at 4 p.m. Indulge in quality conversations, enlighten your mind, and enjoy the ride while we protect, preserve, and prepare our today for our tomorrow. It's time to focus with Robert McKay, Sunday afternoons at 4 p.m., only on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
At Beverly Bank and Trust, we serve this neighborhood like only people who really know it can. Because this is our home, too. Our local bankers are dedicated to helping you reach your goals. We offer custom financial solutions and personalized guidance designed for our neighbors, no matter where you are in your financial journey. Visit thebeverlybank.com/offer for a special offer from your local Wintrust Community Bank. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
WVON is proud to welcome ComEd to the Tuesday edition of the 3:30 Focus. ComEd representatives will share how you can avoid being scammed and offer consumer protection and energy efficiency tips and information on their care and solar programs. ComEd is committed to powering lives throughout the Chicagoland area. Listen every Tuesday to the 3:30 Focus, featuring our friends at ComEd.
Francis W. Parker School is a private school with a public purpose. Since 1901, the school has been dedicated to expanding learning for students in junior kindergarten through 12th grade. Their students go beyond the yes and no, asking the why and how, pushing the boundaries to discover their best potential. Francis W. Parker's in-person open house for junior kindergarten through third grade is Saturday, October 16th at 10 a.m. Register now at fwparker.org/open house. That's fwparker.org/open house.
Look, staying healthy isn't easy. Watching your diet, hitting the gym, avoiding stress. But a good night's rest helps boost your overall health and wellness. And it couldn't be easier. The Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed effortlessly adjusts in response to both of you. The result? You wake up ready for anything. Proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. Don't miss our weekend special. Save up to $800 on Sleep Number 360 smart beds, plus special financing. Ends Monday. Special financing subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. See store for details.
Some people treat investing like a game, but Marcus by Goldman Sachs approaches investing in a smart way with digitally managed portfolios that leverage Goldman Sachs strategies. So, do you want to play games or do you want your money to work smart? You can money. Visit Marcus.com to learn more about saving, borrowing, and investing from Marcus by Goldman Sachs.
Investing involves risk and investments may lose value. Brokerage and investment advisory services by Goldman Sachs and Company, LLC. Member FINRA, SIPC. Lending and deposits products provided by Goldman Sachs Bank USA. Member FDIC.
You're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Dorothy. Tillman, that is, on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
And it still is news. Mama may have, Papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own. That's got his own. Yes, the strong get more, while the weak ones fade. Empty pockets don't, they don't ever make the grade. Your mama may have, your papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own, that's got his own.
God bless the child that's got his own. Lou Rawls, the great Lou Rawls, y'all. Woo! How y'all
when
doing?
You got money,
when you got money, baby.
You've got
ask some of these folks.
Friends,
yeah.
They're all hanging around your door.
Mm-hmm. So they get all of your resources.
But when money is gone.
Come on, Lou Rawls. Yeah, they took all your culture, your home, your land, your food. They don't come around and say, what you doing in this neighborhood, boy? We don't allow black folks in this neighborhood. We're back, y'all. Talk of Chicago, 1690, WVON, number 773-591-1690. Coffee to the conversation with me, Dorothy Wright, Tim, right here, the great WVON. Our number 773-591-1690. We're streaming live, www.wvon.com. We on our heart radio. Take us wherever you go. We on Facebook, group Facebook. You should go back to Blog Talk to listen to it if you want to. Tell Evan to type up there where you get the book from because I can't remember. Anyway, I'll back, y'all. I tell y'all, I'm teaching and talking today, and next week I'm going to do a piece on education. I want to do economics and politics today. We're doing the politics and the economics. I kind of mixed them up. But I got to try to help y'all and help my people, too. I was just telling Titus when I was in there, I was telling him just about how sometimes you even got elected officials who might want to do something. They'd be scared. These folks know we're the only group that they put a piece of fear over to help our people. Nobody else, everybody else get glorified and lifted up for helping their people and all of that. And not only helping their people, they're coming and taking what we had. Using what we have fought for. Because they're able to come to a country that we fought for to give people the right. Well, even when you hear them talking about Grant, I'll tear statue down not knowing that Grant gave us the 14th Amendment. Don't know nothing. The right to vote, and that's when you begin to get some black folks back there then in office. Small got in office, thinking from Carolina. He got to be Congress. And then they let other folks tell them what to do when they tore down Teddy Roosevelt's statue in New York, not knowing that without Teddy Roosevelt, you wouldn't have had Tuskegee. Then they want to tear down Lincoln without having Lincoln. You didn't have Lincoln and you didn't have Frederick Douglass and Harriet Tubman. You wouldn't have had the Emancipation Proclamation, and you wouldn't have been able to talk about no Juneteenth. These folks are leading us away from thinking about economics and thinking about our community and working. This is about the white Anglo-Saxon and black man, and we let everybody else come in. Now, they got us on this roller coaster depressing our minds and depressing our feelings where we can't really think and focus. That's why next week we're going to talk about education because I want to address that because it's a lot of stuff going on. So I'm going to go to the phone. Y'all hang in there. She's going to answer. All the lines are just lit up, and I'm going to try to take these calls real quick. I told Mom D I was going to address the other side about the atonement, but if I have time, I will. Let me just see. Okay, Mike.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
How are you doing today?
I'm fine. Now, we got 15 minutes, so we're on our one-minute time.
Right. Mm-hmm. I want to speak from the spiritual aspect on three things. Number one, this is a cabal battle that we're in against the evil side related to the light side.
Mm-hmm.
And that term hallelujah,
yeah,
that is praise the Lord in the highest.
Yes.
Can't get any higher than that. And that's hallelujah no matter what language.
That's right. That's right.
All over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're getting recognition when you're saying, well, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Okay, moving right along. this fear that they putting out and propagating in our communities and everywhere and all of this type of thing, people need to hear as well as the world get in contact with the one that they believe that brought them here and caused them to be here for this time and place and dispensation, this time period.
Thank you.
One, I'm wrapping it up. One of the examples that we all have and that we saw and experienced is Mount St. Helens. When that volcano went off.
Okay, Mike, I got to go now. It, wrap it up, Mike. You got five seconds. Wrap it up.
I know that volcano, they said for 3 to 5 years, there would be no vegetation. The very next year, there was vegetation at the bottom.
But God is. God is.
God
is. We're not fighting against flesh and blood, I tell you. We're fighting against principality. Thank you so much. I'm just so glad my parents raised us to believe and understand God. I raised my children there. That's why I like my pastor, Pastor Andrew Hunt, Jr. at Liberty. I tell y'all to tune in from 11 to 12 on Sunday, but then find out and see what he's talking about. Dr. King was the minister. They didn't want to tell folks that. MLK. He's Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. That's what he is. Jan. Jan? 1, 2, 3, 4.
Hello?
Yes, Jan.
Hello?
Uh-huh.
Hi. I'm calling because I don't think this is fair. I live out in Schaumburg, Illinois. It's a lot of black out here.
I can't hardly hear you, Jan. Jan, I can't hardly hear you for some reason. Put your hold and come back to you. I'm going to come out. You'll be my next caller, but I can't hear you. You wasn't clear. Denise.
Yes, Dorothy. I would like for you to address these numbers. I got a letter from my alderman, Leslie Harrison, and she was talking about the census and how, you know, the first time the white numbers have gone down and the Hispanic numbers are higher than the blacks and even the interracial numbers are higher than the black people. So
nobody want to be black,
getting,
huh?
So they getting ready to vote on, you know, redistricting things here in Chicago. And from your perspective, I'd like for you to speak on that.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Let me just say that it used to be a drop of blood, you're black. All of a sudden, black folks don't want to be black because everybody's stepping on black folks again. You know, it's like when you said the bleaching glow. I think the black aldermen need to stand up and say the Hispanic numbers ain't one up over ours. We having babies. But we can't have as many babies as they have walking across the water. And this is a sanctuary city, and they're counting those who are not citizens. And you shouldn't draw no map based off somebody who's not a citizen. Okay, y'all. Thank you. Look, I got a bunch of calls, and I got 10 minutes, so y'all got to help me, okay? Jan, you back.
Hello?
Yes, Jan.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I'm calling because I'm highly upset. I live out in Schaumburg, and I'm an Afro-American woman. A little 18-year-old boy was stalked in a car. You can go to Cook County Prosecutor declined felony charges.
What you do this, Jan, call Monday and talk to Perry because I only have but a few minutes left and I want to stay on my subject. So call Monday and talk to Perry so you can have more time because I only got 10 more minutes left, okay? Because I won't have time to address it well. You know, I can't. I don't like to have dress up. Lewis.
Good morning, Ms. Tillman.
Yes.
Okay. You always start your morning off with "Say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud." Okay. Now, if we want to beat this game, we have to play just the way that they play. They play unapologetic. They are unapologetic LGBTQ, Hispanic, and all the rest of those cultures and races out there. So we have to be unapologetic Negro.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And next week, y'all, I'm going to deal with education, the whole educational question of what's going on. Hello, Milt. Milt.
Hey, how you doing?
All right, I'm running out of time now. You got 30 seconds.
I'm a 74-year-old Vietnam vet. When I was 19, I was a mailman, and I stole so much money from the government that they asked me to resign for the good of the company.
Okay. Well, all right, Milt. Take, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Every day is great.
Good. I'm praying for you now. Bye-bye. Woo. Hello. Minister Plump.
Well, yeah, shalom.
You got 30 seconds, Minister Plump.
Yes. We don't die, we multiply.
happy Million Man March 26th year anniversary to everybody, and especially the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, Nation of Islam, and the
Reverend
James Bevel. Yes, and all of the other brothers and sisters that participated in the atonement and the prosperity.
Okay.
We're going to meet tomorrow and next Sunday. We're going to have a community rally on October the 24th at 2:30 to 7 p.m. at National Black Wall Street, Chicago.
Okay.
And that's 4655 South Dr. King Drive.
Okay.
And for more information,
go to
the Harold Washington Foundation.net.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Look, y'all, I want to thank y'all. I enjoyed this dialogue and talking because we got to learn more. To Leslie Harrison, my sister, whom I love dearly because her mother was a very supportive, great supporter of mine. She was a great principal over at Terrell. But I think the black Alderman should start standing up and said, how are you going to count these people and draw your map and these folks are not legal? You got to raise the question. You can't just sit and say, and these folks who got one, got somebody biracial, they black by convenient. If it's conveniently black for them to get some, they be black. If they want to be biracial to get something else, come on, y'all. Come on. So that's the Million Man March. I said Bevel. The reason I said Reverend Bevel is because I was just telling Titus in there about when the Million Man March, Bevel said, I'm going to need to get to Minister Farrakhan the Day of Atonement. That's where Atonement came from. Came from Bevel. He really, him and Reverend Bevel was in there, and they went to Woodshed on Jesus and God, and they had a good time, and they came up. So Reverend Bevel always believed that it was time for atonement, and I introduced them to the minister, and they put together this march, and I was part of the national committee, so was Reverend Sanford, a bunch of us. And for those who don't know, with SCLC being in the room, all of us came together, Conrad, those of us from the movement, or SCLC, and it was Sanford. I remember we was at Inner City Studies, and Reverend Sanford said, wait a minute, you mean we going to Washington, we're going to do these buses? And I remember getting up that time, this is a military town, and this is where you got to come in. So it was really unification time. Myself was part of the national committee. I sent 10 buses. Some of y'all out there probably was on my buses. But it really was a great time. But I just wanted to give, nobody mentions Reverend Bell, but he was very, very instrumental in even come thinking about the atonement and the biblical piece. And Minister Farrakhan did his eulogy. We had his funeral in Alabama. So, you know, I think about him, too, and his birthday was this month. I might not have the exact date that his birthday was, but a lot of folks was involved with the Million Man March. That's one time our community came together. And black men, we didn't even have no crimes that day. I remember that day we had no crime in the community. But after the march, then we have other things we need to do. But come on, black men. Black men, be strong and stand up. But that's why they have to try to keep you down and keep killing each other. Mama D mentioned what happened at Phillips. It was a shame as we celebrate Tim Black who went to Phillips. We also mourn in the loss, the loss of a security guard in the shooting of this girl. We got to understand that some of this stuff is by design, and some of it is because of, and that's what we're going to deal with education next week, the functionally literate students who cannot, you know, that they're able to get pushed around. But we're going to talk about education next week. Don't forget, you all need to get the Black Patriots. You can go www.tillmanfamilypress.com. That's Ebony and Jimmy's press company. I'm so proud of them. The book is good, and it show you the Black Patriots and show you what we've done and how we did with God from the time leading up. And we got to stay with God, y'all. These folks don't trick black folks. And everybody coming here trying to establish their own religion, their own stuff. If America is so darn bad, why are folks killing themselves to get here? Yeah, we got problems. We got to deal with those problems. You can, we're going to walk them out of my shoes. Then we got problems, and we're going to have to deal with those problems. But don't you step and be so upset and scared and stressed out that we don't have time to take care of our children, take care of our community. And everybody's come on, push. You better ask the question, who's leading you? That's why next week we're going to talk about education. Because this man that they put in jail, and George Reed and all of them call him white supremacist and all, he was fighting because a young man had a dress on, went in the bathroom, and sodomized his daughter and raped her, The board didn't do anything about it to send the young man to another school. He did the same thing. He was trying to bring attention. But I heard some of my folks on this station calling that man a white supremacist. George Reed called him. He was out there fighting for his children. We got to fight for ours. But next week, we're going to talk about the whole educational question and continue to try to discuss things. Welcome out in our shoes, y'all. Dorothy Wright Tillman. I've enjoyed y'all. Happy birthday again to my Aunt Louise. I think my brother's on the highway. He's on his way back to Montgomery. He's down there for a little while, Jane. Hope y'all listening on your way. Welcome out in my shoes. And congratulations for a successful event last night, Jamalita and Jamil and all of y'all. The whole Ebony, Jimmy, all y'all, you did a great job. Okay, welcome out of my shoes, Otis Clay, y'all, the great Otis Clay.
It's just a reflection. And the law of the common.
Sing, Otis.
Says you're going to read.
The great Otis Clay, y'all. Boy, do I miss him. At last,
you live the life of total
and
perfection.
And hello, Minister Farrakhan. And happy belated birthday, Reverend Jack. I'm so sorry I didn't say it last week. Woo!
Of every stone that you should throw.
Woo! Black folks don't mean that you hate anybody else, but we have got to rebuild our community.
And when you strike out,
yeah,
to try to hurt me,
oh yes,
it's hurting you.
Come on, y'all. Otis Clay, Otis Clay.
Just walk a mile in my
shoes. Come on, y'all. Dirt the right table, coffee talk of Chicago, 1690, coffee in a conversation with me. Be back next week. Get your coffee ready because we are going to talk about education and politics. Until next week, walk a mile in my shoes, but the real reparations are not repairing the damage, not what they're playing.
But somehow my soul remains. But it is over now.
In this slavery industry, is this nation's foundation of economy? What bothers me is the stripping of language, culture, and religion of African descendants with no restrictions. They cut children from my queen's guts to inbreed fear in us.
I'm Jaleesa Chapman.
And I'm Ree Harris on your home for 24/7 News. The Black Information Network.
Defense attorneys in Georgia argue there is important information that needs to be shared in the upcoming Ahmaud Arbery murder trial. They've asked a judge to allow the fact that Arbery was on probation at the time of his death be known to the jury. Three white men, Greg McMichael, Travis McMichael, and William Bryan, are accused in the murder of Arbery.